This episode is sponsored by All Ages of Geek. Unites the geek of all ages with anime, gaming, Dungeons & Dragons, and all of geekdom. So visit allagesofgeek.com.
This is the Cool Concept Podcast with your boy, Mika Miles. Guest, writer of Shell of a Man, Mario Anthony. What's up, man?
Hey, bro. How's it going?
Chilling? Just chilling right now. How are you doing?
I'm good. Yeah. Just getting through, getting the rest of the book together before the release.
Nice, nice, nice. So, Mario, tell me about yourself.
Sure. So, I was originally set out to be a director, a writer, director, actor, and that's definitely still something I'm on the horizon to do. I kind of accidentally stumbled upon becoming an author through quarantine. It was Juneteenth specifically, so I actually remember the exact date, but yeah, I was kind of just in that place a lot of us were in the middle of quarantine, not knowing what, you know, what I was going to be doing with my time, and just kind of decided I wanted to publish the screenplay that I had written into a novel. So I'm in a place now where that's kind of my main focus, and yeah, so I'm a little about me. I'm definitely big into film, big into art of all kinds. I also make music, and look out for some of that soon. Just like to kind of dip
into a lot of different things. Okay, so when you were like quarantined and everything, did you just like write a lot of stuff?
I mean, if I'm not honest, I would say that I was super productive and making the best of my time, but if I am honest, I wasn't. And the truth is that, like a lot of people quarantined, it gave me a lot to think about. It gave me a lot of time to look inward and to see what I was doing, what I wasn't doing, what I maybe needed to be doing. And so I had a screenplay that I had already written. I'm 25 now, by the way, and started writing this screenplay when I was 18, finished it when I was 21. So this screenplay, this novel that I'm now...
Nice.
Is many years in the making, and stumbled upon the idea. I was looking through books of mine, and I found a book that my sister had given me, my sister Joanne. And it was a screenplay. So I was just like, wait a minute. I completely had forgotten that this book was a screenplay. It's a book called Monster. Have you heard of it? When I saw that, it inspired me. And so I thought, you know what, I'm going to publish my screenplay.
Okay, that sounds cool. All right, speaking of writing and everything else, when did you first realize you wanted to be a writer?
That's a big question. I think I always knew that I had a knack for language. I guess from an early age, I always enjoyed different interpretations of art, different kinds of art. I always, was drawing and writing poetry, and I guess a lot of those things in forms. Some of the things I do now, like make music, like write screenplays. That's a question that's hard to answer, only because I don't exactly know when I really first decided that I was going to be, but I think I just always was encouraged by good feedback and by my peers and people older than me and wiser than me, telling me that I was that I was good at something and taught me that I was worthy of pursuing certain things. And so I think from a very early age, I mean, I'm 25 now, so I would say easily around 6, 7, 8, I just knew that I enjoyed being creative. I enjoyed living in the imagination and creating stories. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Was this like, you know, was Shell of a Man was your first attempt of writing a full-fledged book? Or did you have a book previously?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Before.
The thing about Shell of a Man is that it was really born out of kind of necessity. I had been writing a series that I was really, really excited about. I was really passionate about. I had all these ideas for and was just super ambitious about it. You know, when you, as a writer, as a young writer in particular, you kind of just have no limitations to what you want to do, right? So I was just writing all these really ambitious things that I wanted to have portrayed in my story. And I kind of took a step back and realized that I was maybe being a little too ambitious. You know, maybe to step back a little bit and start smaller. So the initial idea for Shell of a Man was to write something scrappy and kind of last minute and kind of like, you know, just to show what I can do. But it turned into something much more, something that I was way more passionate about than I thought I would be. And obviously now something that I'm incredibly passionate about. So to answer your question, it is my first full-length feature, screenplay, novel, whatever you want to call it. Yes, for sure. I've written a lot of screenplays for episodic series type things. And I've begun a lot of feature screenplays that I've never completed. Any writer, particularly screenplay writer, will tell you that that's an experience that's familiar to them. I've written a lot of short stories, short films, and things like that. But yeah, this is my definite first foray into completing a feature-length screenplay or story novel. Yeah.
Mm. Okay. All right. Sounds cool. What's the vision? Do you want to see Shell of a Man? Do you want to see it like in a theater, like a live play theater, or do you want to see it like in front of the screen?
I think the dream is always when you write a screenplay. I think any writer will tell you that the dream is to, you know, have it be filmed and have it be seen by as many people as possible. So obviously that's the dream. That's the big, you know, the big picture. But I think I'm starting in a place that's a little bit smaller and in a place that is a really interesting place to me because, again, I did not set out to become an author. I think maybe in some capacity I thought maybe I would be an author and, you know, at some point in my life, but definitely not as my introduction into the world of entertainment. So it's an interesting place to be because there's a lot of different directions I can go. I wrote it with the intent to have it filmed, and of course, you know, I finished it at 21. That's one thing to say, several years since I had finished it, but there's another thing to say that, you know, the coronavirus happened and we were quarantined, and that was the year that I had even posted something on my Instagram page to the effect of, you know, I want to film something this year. I want to finally film a movie this year. I was really itching to get that part out of me. And then, you know, the quarantine happened. So ultimately, I want to start and take it moment by moment, opportunity by opportunity, and just, you know, release the book and see where it goes. Obviously, as a writer, again, I want it to do as, you know, successfully as possible. But yeah, I would love to be able to film it and release it. I think ideally at this particular time, and just thinking about the kind of direction the film industry is going. Obviously, a streaming service like Netflix or an Amazon Prime or Hulu would be great. It's a screenplay, so it really feeds into that cinematic, feeling. And so that's where I hope it goes, where I see it going, where I am aiming towards. Mm-hmm. But I'm definitely starting with just having people read it and hopefully relate to it and think about it, have conversations about it, okay, et cetera.
All right, that's cool. So if it doesn't end up on either of those big three streaming services, yeah, which one is your main one? Like, out of all those three,
yeah,
like, which one's the main one you want?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think for me, like, I love Netflix, and I think everybody does, but I tend to watch Hulu a lot more. I don't know about you. Like that's kind of my default streaming service.
Well,
what about you?
Well, in Canada, we don't have
Hulu, so right.
Netflix.
Okay. Well, I still do love it. I think for Netflix, the only thing I've found is that it's just really hard to, there's so many options that you end up looking for something longer than it takes you to even watch something. Like, I spend more time looking to watch something on Netflix than actually watching something. You know what I mean? But I think, I think Netflix would be a perfect partner for this kind of movie. And if we want to talk about production companies, I could definitely see like an A24 or an Annapurna type production company taking this kind of project on. That's, again, being very ambitious and very, just putting it out there. I think Netflix would probably be number one. It obviously has the widest audience. And yeah, anything that Netflix touches kind of turns into gold, even if it doesn't.
Okay, I have another question for you. What was the process of writing Shell of a Man? Like, how did the ideas come to you?
Sure. So, that's another one of those questions where, you know, it's interesting because I don't have a process. You know, I think a lot of writers have a process. They have a certain way that they approach stories, a certain way that they approach, you know, each scene. I'm not a trained writer in any sense. I'm self-taught in everything I do, pretty much. I didn't go to college. I barely finished high school. So my thing was really trying to be great at something, but doing it in a way that was just very kind of, you know, scrappy. I think that's kind of just the lifestyle that I've led in many ways. And I think studying films and studying writers and reading other screenplays has really helped me. But the process was very sporadic. You know, I started off with just a small idea, and I don't want to give too much away about the story. And not that many people know that much about the story. There's a very kind of brief description about it on our Instagram page. But other than that, there's not a whole lot out there. And that's for a reason, because there's a lot of kind of plot points that are, that give away certain things that are integral to the story. So I don't want to say too much, but it started off, I was 18 years old, and I was, again, I had been writing this series, blah, 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 decided I wanted to write a screenplay for a film first, to make a very scrappy, you know, low budget little feature, and, you know, thinking that that would be my way into the door to then make this series that I was so passionate about. And I was kind of looking inward in myself. I was in a place where I had been making a lot of impulsive decisions that weren't just like small impulsive decisions. They were decisions that had big impacts on my life at that time. And I wanted to kind of peel back the layers of that and look at myself in a way that I hadn't before. And I think as artists, the best way to do that always is to do it through art. So I started to kind of, interrogate that. And I looked at what I was doing and trying to understand what gives a person the audacity to be frank. I had been working several different jobs, and kind of just quitting them on the spot. Like, no notice, no, you know, putting in 2 weeks, no calling in. Just like, I would start a job and be lucky enough to get a job, which of course now looking back, it's like, you know, especially with what's going on now, it's such a, you know, I look back at it and I cringe, but I would just quit. I would just quit if I wanted to. If I didn't feel like going, I just wouldn't go that day. And it happened several times. And yeah, I mean, it was one of those things where, like, I did it without thinking about the consequences. And I thought about that, and I started to really look into it. And that was the seed that planted the story.
Do you feel like, writing is more your passion than just doing like a 9-to-5 job?
It was like a lot of why I was doing that was because I felt like it wasn't who I was, you know? And so in many ways I was kind of, you know, already at the point that I am at now where I feel like I'm worth more, that I can sort of do what I love in a way now that I couldn't before. I'm reaching that point. I'm definitely not there yet. But I feel like I was kind of in that mindset, but it was a lot more, impulsive and a lot less thought out. But yeah, I think that was definitely had a lot to do with it, because writing and filmmaking my passion, and the jobs that I was working weren't necessarily that. So that's what started the story, and then, you know, then it just snowballed from there, and I kind of started to, you know, implement different things from my life, other people's lives, people I know, and that's how the characters were then born. And then it kind of just took a life. I write outlines. I write character bibles. I definitely want it to be structured in that sense, but I like to be free as well, and I like to kind of be surprised by my own thing. So a lot of the time I'll start, you know, writing a scene and think it's going to end one way, and it ends a completely different way because you're so inspired by the moment that you end up kind of going in a different direction.
Okay. That's really cool, man. Okay, let me ask you like a weird question.
Bring
were you ever like, you know, on your breaks when you like working? Would you like ever like write?
That's a really good question.
Just like, well, you know, write.
It's something. So funny that you keep asking about writing, yeah, because that's what I'm here. Obviously, I'm here to promote a book that I wrote, and I love writing. But I think for me, the answer is yes. But also, like, I have so many passions that it's hard for me to even like think of myself as just a writer, because I don't even really think of myself as a writer either. I've only just done. Obviously, I'm going to be publishing a book soon, but I'm still, you know, trying to accept like where I'm headed. But there's so many things. During the breaks, I would really just, honestly, if I could be really honest with you right now, I would really just daydream about my future. I would just, you know, just take the time. And also, like,
I'm the same.
The jobs, like, you don't really have a lot of time to really get in a good writing session, you know what I mean? So you're most likely going to be eating your lunch and smoking your cigarette if you do that, which I kind of used to do at those times. And daydream. So I would just kind of be daydreaming about when my life is going to change. That's still pretty relevant to this day. I definitely like to try to manifest my future and kind of lean my intentions in certain directions just to give myself that image of what is possible. You know what I mean?
All right, cool. It's dope. We're gonna get to your other passions. I just wanna like, you know, focus
absolutely
on Child of a Man.
That's what I'm here to talk about. I'm happy to do.
And your writing
abilities. I'm sorry?
Your writing abilities as well.
Sure.
Your writing abilities as well.
I'm excited to talk about everything.
Okay. Who inspired you to just like, you know, write in general?
I think as a young kid, I always wanted to act. That was like the first dream, right? So watching people like Eddie Murphy, Martin Lawrence, Robin Williams, Jim Carrey. Like, I grew up with those kind of movies where I just, you know, watched movie after movie after movie with the same actors that just inspired, just, you know, just so inspiring with how they made such successful, great, watchable movies that were funny, were interesting, were, you know, legendary in different ways. And so that was the first dream for me. And I think I didn't realize that there was so much more that went into filmmaking until I was honestly a little bit older. And so I think it's such a great question, but it's a hard one. And I know I've been saying that a lot, but for me, I try to be honest. I listen to interviews a lot, and you know how people always have just a perfect answer for everything. I was 5 years old and I saw this person on TV. And, you know,
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, are you lying? You're probably lying. For me, it's like, I remember some things, but I also don't. But I also, like, I just think of it more as it's kind of just always been a part of what I dreamt of, you know, as a kid. Again, it was just like, I want to be in movies like Jim Carrey, like Martin Lawrence. I used to have, like, this recurring daydream that I would have about this movie I would be in, and Martin Lawrence would play my dad. Like, I just had, you know, just these aspirations. But when I got older, I realized, like, wait, there are people that write these movies, there are people that direct these movies, there are people that, you know, set up the lights and cameras, and so that happened a little bit later. But I think the first time I was really moved by a movie in a different kind of way, I saw Requiem for a Dream. Have you seen that movie? I think you would know right away. Disturbing movie that I watched at an age that I was definitely not supposed to be watching it. It's called Requiem.
Wait, hold on. Restate that again.
Yeah. It's.
Oh yeah.
Definitely check it out if you have a chance. It's kind of one of those movies that everyone that, like, loves films will tell you they've seen and love. So it's a little bit of annoying in that way, but I just can't lie, it's the first time I had ever seen something that was so different. And so it was written by Darren Aronofsky, who also directed and wrote Black Swan, directed and wrote that movie Mother that came out a couple years ago with Jennifer Lawrence. He has a very distinct style as a director and a writer. And I guess just ultimately I was inspired by the film as a whole. Just how it was, the way that it was put together, and I had never seen anything like it. It's about addiction, and it's about codependence, and it's the way it's edited is like you feel like you're on drugs the whole movie. I just had never seen anything like it. And obviously now I've seen a lot more kind of art film type movies, but I was just so inspired by it, and it changed everything for me. I was probably like 12 or 13 and I had seen this very dark adult movie, but I think from there on I saw film in a different way, and I watched it listening to the words, I watched it listening to, you know, how things were bouncing back and forth, and, you know, seeing how things connected, seeing the foreshadowing throughout the story that, you know, that you would then kind of be rewarded with by the end. To answer the question more directly, I have a lot of favorite writers I love. Aaron Sorkin, which is kind of a basic answer, but I do love his dialogue. I'm a big fan of dialogue, and anyone that reads Shell of a Man will know that there's a lot of dialogue in the story, and hopefully it's not overwhelming or too much for some people. I know Malcolm and Marie just came out, and a lot of people thought the dialogue was... I personally thought the dialogue was a little bit excessive as well, but anyway, that's a whole other conversation. I love dialogue. So Aaron Sorkin, Spike Lee, of course. I mean, Do the Right Thing is one of the best films of all time. I love...
Did you watch The Five Bloods?
Spike Lee is in this place right now where he's just showing off a little bit. You know what I mean? He's been he's been making movies for such a long time, but he's in a place now where I think he's just like carefree and just doing his thing.
Yeah,
Defy Bloods is just a perfect example of that. You know, Black Klansman and Defy Bloods, back to back. That movie is
the Black Klans? The Black Klansman. That was a little bit over the top in my opinion. But it was cool, the comedy that was in there. But yeah, I understand
I think it's an interesting thing when you kind of when you combine genres. Because I guess, Black Klansman is like a historical drama in ways, but there was a lot of comedy. Yeah, you know, I think it's interesting. I think he balanced it well. I can see your point, but no, I think for sure with Spike Lee can be hit or miss. If you're gonna, you know what I mean? But like, he's definitely hit or miss for the most part. But the past couple of years, he's definitely been just showing off.
Yeah. I thought the Black Klansman was a good film. I just thought the comedy was like.
Is there a specific scene that you're thinking about?
I do. Oh man, it's been like 3 months.
I've only seen it in entirety, I think, once. maybe twice. I only seen it once.
I can't remember too much, but I just remember that it was just like the comedy was more over the top and I understand
that's how a lot of people that I know personally felt about Us, the Jordan Peele movie. Did you see that?
I didn't like that too much.
You thought it was what?
I thought it was all.
So the thing about Us for me,
all over the place.
Twice. I watched it the first time. I was a little bit late, and I kind of started like maybe 7 or 8 minutes into the movie. I really, really liked it the first time I saw it. And then I went again with some friends of mine, and I liked it, but not as much. And then I watched it again when it came out, like when it was available to watch. And I completely started to understand. I had a friend, Nick, who hated it, completely hated it the day we went to see it, and we left the theater and I just completely eviscerated the entire movie. And I was like, really? Like, it's not that bad, you know? And I still don't think it's that bad. I love Lupita's performance. I think the direction is solid, but there are just so many plot holes that I started to really understand, like, wait a minute, a lot of this story doesn't make sense. You know, like, if these people are living underground, where do they get these outfits? Where do they get these scissors? Like, what was going on? Like, even stupid questions like, where do they go to the bathroom? Or, like, how come sometimes they can be controlled by their doppelganger and other times they can just walk around normal? Like, a lot of it just didn't make sense. That was what I didn't like about it. It was, like, there's too many parts of it that were just completely, like, not that well thought of.
Yeah. I feel like is it Jordan Peele? Sorry, I'm super.
Yeah, that was.
Get Out was really right. Good.
Yeah,
really
that's
good.
The thing is, like, you have to. Yeah,
this one.
Gonna top Get Out. Yeah. Compared to Get Out, it's nowhere near. But I will say that Lupita's performance was probably one of the iconic horror performances I've ever seen. I think she was definitely overlooked for some of the awards.
Mm.
That's my opinion. I mean, maybe you have lower opinions. I respect that.
Okay. Alright. Well, like, I'm super bad with names and everything, so I don't know a lot of the acronyms, which I should.
She plays the mom in the tethered version of it. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, 12 Years a Slave, people have some like negative things about it though, but like I kind of liked it in a way. Help was good. Help was also good.
You're talking about the help or the movie called Help?
Is it Help or The Help?
The Help.
There was a book about it. Yeah, the help. Okay, my bad. I thought I'm not a fan of help, but
I think that's one of the top white savior films to exist in the last decade. It's very much, you know what I mean? Like, it's probably a. I've seen it, but not
it.
In its entirety. But I've seen enough of it to know what it is, and it's very much about made from the perspective of the white women that they worked for. Am I right in saying that? I know, I haven't seen it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. Let me ask you another question. Do you feel like black directors or, you know, Hollywood should move on from slavery movies? Or do you feel like we should still be doing slavery movies?
This is something I think about a lot, because as a writer and as someone who wants to direct and make great films, I think my innate need and disposition is to want to humanize black people as much as possible. And so, you know, a lot of movies I love, and I love,
yeah.
of course, a lot of great, beautiful black films, but a lot of the films I love are also films that, you know, honestly have white protagonists, have white casts. And the reason that is the case is because a lot of these white films are centered around humanity, the humanity of the characters, the complexity of the characters. It has nothing to do with them being white. It has everything to do with them being human beings. And I think that for me, that's what I want to see more of for people of color, particularly black people. I'm black, I'm Puerto Rican, I'm Cuban. I have, you know, a lot in me that, you know, I'm proud of, that I want to showcase in my art, and that I feel deserves that kind of just very simple, you know, attention. And so I think for me, that's what I want to do. And I think that it's a hard question to answer, because in one hand, of course, we need to know our history, right? We need to know what happened. We need to see these stories. We need to know so that we don't repeat our history. That's, you know, the kind of the age-old thing that's always talked about. But at the same time, I just feel like there's such an overabundance of it, that it almost feels like,
you know,
even with, like, if I'm not mistaken, last year's Oscars, like, the only woman that was nominated was, she played Harriet Tubman. You know what I mean? Like, do we have to play historical figures to be recognized? Do we have to play slaves to be recognized? Do we have to showcase our pain to be recognized as artists? Or can we just be lawyers? You know, did you see Marriage Story, that movie that came out last year? It's called Marriage Story.
Mirror?
It's a Netflix movie. It's a very simple
Marriage Story.
Not super simple, but it's a complex, simple story about a married couple going through a divorce. And I watched that movie. It's a great movie. I actually really enjoyed it, but I couldn't help but wonder how much more I would love it as me, looking at it through my lens, if it starred a black cast. Because there was nothing about that movie that said it had to be white cast. And every, like, side character in the movie was black, by the way. So, like, if you watch it, you'll notice that, like, wait a minute, the agent is black, and, like, the person getting the coffee is black, because they want to make up for the fact that everyone else is white. But those are the kind of movies I think we deserve. I think we need to make more of those movies to show that, look, yes, we were slaves. Yes, we, you know, I loved When They See Us on Netflix. Ava DuVernay, I love Ava. I think everything she did, like, I love these things. But I also think that we need more dopes. We need more, you know, I'm sorry?
Variety?
We need more stories.
Variety?
To showcase us in all our lights, so that we're human beings, a lot more variety. Yes. So, to answer your question, I think it's hard to answer to say, like, we don't need any more of these stories, because I don't think that's necessarily true, but I think that we need to show way more of what we, you know, and given the opportunities, obviously, to show way more of what we're capable of, because the recognition, like, there's, you know, anytime we're recognized, it's like, it's because we're a stereotype, we're a crackhead, we're a crooked cop, we're a maid, we're a gangster, we're, you know, gangster slaves, you know. And so it's like, can you just be, you know,
can
you just be, just exist, just be people, just be, so, right, just anything,
be a lawyer, a police officer,
just exist,
a nurse, or a doctor,
all awards and recognition. But think about, you know, the performances that are just every year, the performances that are acclaimed and talked about the most. They're, you know, imagine Lakeith Stanfield as Joker, as opposed to Joaquin Phoenix, right? Like, look, there's, we can do these things. We can be character actors. We can make movies that are about, you know, just, you know, us just existing and not having it to be about race. So anyway, I'm sorry. I'm super passionate about that. So you got me started, but it's, you know.
I know what you're saying. Speaking of Lakeith Stanfield,
Judas.
Are you gonna watch a new film called Judas? Yeah. I don't know where I'm gonna watch it, but I need to watch it because right now we don't get HBO Max here, so you guys are lucky in America to watch HBO Max. So I'm not sure where it is, but I need to watch it. No, it's going to be.
Well, I have my
friend HBO Max for you guys.
Julius Jefferson. He let me use his HBO Max a few months ago, and I've actually never used it. I'm going to actually talk to him a little bit after this podcast. So maybe he'll give it back to me because I don't remember it. But, I definitely need to see it. However, I see it. I'm very excited. Big fan of Daniel Kaluuya. Very big fan of Phil. It looks like a great, great movie. And again, it's a historical film, and you know, we're playing characters that people are familiar with in some ways. But at the same time, it looks cinematically pleasing, like 12 Years a Slave, which we didn't get into. But you know, 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah.
What's great about that was that it had such significance cinematically that you know you were riveted by the story and you were taken back to this place, but you were also so completely transfixed by the beauty of the cinematography and the direction and everything that came with the story. So that's also part of it. Can we be cinematically beautiful and not just make silly Kevin Hart type movies? Which, no disrespect to Kevin Hart, but you know, what do you think?
He's funny, but I think a lot of his movies, it just gets tiresome. Do something else.
Absolutely.
Go a different lane.
Different lane. That right. Would be hard for Kevin Hart.
Yeah. So.
But what I'll say for him is that I was a huge fan of his stand up. When I was, a teenager, but I think, it was like with anybody where you just see them too much, and he doesn't play characters. He plays Kevin Hart in every movie he's in. Let's be clear about that. He's playing himself in everything he's ever done. So, you know, it's just like you're seeing Kevin Hart with a different name and, you know, 20 different movies every year.
Do you feel like Denzel Washington is the same thing?
They're not.
Do you feel like Denzel
Washington is the same actor?
Close? Okay, all right. No, like I don't. I know they're not in the same chemistry, but like, do you feel like Denzel Washington plays like the same character as Denzel Washington? Like, or do you feel like he just adds like a little bit of detail towards each and different character that he plays?
Kind of actually what we were just talking about in terms of black actors and being character actors, because I think like when you think of like someone like Leonardo DiCaprio, for example, he's done different accents in movies and he like looks different in every movie, and that I think it's another thing about, you know, when it comes down to what the opportunities that we're given, how often do you see, I mean, I love Daniel Kaluuya, I love, you know, Idris Elba and, you know, all these black British actors, but how often do you see black American actors play British characters? You never see that. I mean, almost, I can only think of maybe one.
Not actor, often.
Which is,
Cheadle. No.
In the Ocean's 8 movies, I think he played, or the Ocean's 11 movies, he played British, if I'm not mistaken, but like it's so rare that the thing is that we don't get to do character acting.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the time, any character acting we do is we're doing the old school, you know, slave voice. We're doing like the kind of old school, you know, Southern accent maybe. We can do like a little, you know, New Orleans accent or a Texas. But a lot of time we don't get to do that kind of stuff. So I think, you know, when you see Denzel and he has the same tone of voice in every movie, you think, oh, is he? But no, I think Denzel is a brilliant pioneer, one of the best to ever do it type actors. I think he brings himself to every role, but I think that he does it in a way that he disappears and at the same time, if that makes sense. So he's definitely an exception to the rule, but a lot of the time, we just don't get to do that kind of thing. We have to use our regular voices a lot of the time, or we have to talk street. If you sound like, you know, you and I, you know, we sound how we sound. It's just, you know, you're from Canada. I'm from, you know, I was born in Missouri. I lived in my life. I'm now living in Minnesota. But you know, it's those are the kind of tropes that we're given as actors.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I think when it comes to Denzel Washington, we're talking about a king of acting. We're talking about, you know, someone not to be touched, not to be messed with. That's my opinion. I'm a huge Denzel fan.
Okay. Yeah. I'm like, don't get me wrong, I'm a huge Denzel fan, but a lot of my friends saying like he always plays the same character every single time.
I think he plays strong, you know, headstrong maybe characters. Maybe they have some similar qualities, but I definitely think he like to say he plays the same character is to say that he's acting the same in every movie, as opposed to saying like he plays a lot of the same types of characters. See, that's another thing. It's one thing to say he plays the same characters, another thing to say that he plays the same kind of types of characters, you know what I mean? So yeah, I mean, I think like even with like Tom Hanks, who, you know, everybody knows Tom Hanks has never played a villain in a movie, right? So we always think of Tom Hanks, he's playing a good guy, someone we're rooting for, the hero of the story, the captain of the ship, the whatever. So that happens with all kinds of actors, but at the same time, he disappears into every role. He was Forrest Gump. He was, you know, the guy from, like, the roles he plays, he still very much disappears into them. And I think the same could be said for Denzel Washington.
Mm-hmm. I think I do agree with you. I see that. Yeah, that's true. That's
why I say the same about him. Yeah, he's one of my favorites.
He's a great actor.
I would say he's kind of a character actor, especially if you see like Cable Guy and The Grinch. I mean, you know, those are totally different characters. But yeah, at the same time, you maybe make that same argument. He's always, you know, the goofy, whatever.
Yes.
The way he approaches each role is kind of what matters and what he brings to each role.
Interesting. That's an interesting way to say how to depict each actor on how they act. So,
I appreciate the question.
That's cool.
I listen to interviews all the time, and I always have things I want to say. So I'm happy to you know, maybe I'm talking too much, but yeah, I'm definitely happy to.
No, you're not talking too much. I like having conversations on the Cool Concept podcast, so it's all good, man.
It's a great podcast.
All right, so let's go back to what? Thank you, man. Thank you. So let's go back to Shell of a Man. So, do you want to describe what the story is, but don't spoil it? Give me like a summary. Give the people what the summary is all about.
Is a novel that'll be out soon. I still don't have. I do have the release date, but I don't. So I'm lying and I'm telling the truth. I was actually planning on giving the release date on the podcast today, but I don't. When is this gonna come out? Do you know? Is this?
Yeah.
Well, most likely come out this.
Yeah, it's fine. I'll
this week. Most likely
announce it, but I here's what the story's about. So it's about a young man who's 23. So when I say young man, I mean an actual young man, not a young, you know, teenager. Mm-hmm. Who joins the Navy, yeah. And we meet him at the beginning of the story when he is coming back from the Navy on a hiatus. So he's not leaving, he's coming on a hiatus to stay with his sister, who is pregnant and who is with a kind of a loser fiance. And it's about this particular time in his life when he is staying with his older sister on a hiatus from the Navy and falls in love with a girl that he meets. It's about a lot of things, and I'm so excited to hear the different interpretations of what people take away from it, but it's a coming-of-age story in many ways. It's a romance story. It's very funny. There's a lot of dark moments that you might not expect. So it has, honestly, a little bit of everything. There's so many different themes. Won't just say it's, you know, any one thing, but that's kind of the general conception. It's this very specific time in this guy's life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really just about what it means to become your own man, coming into yourself as a man, owning up to the things that you've done in the past. Again, going back to a little bit of what we talked about, sort of those making those impulsive decisions that we maybe don't put thought into and think about the consequences of. It has a lot to do with that kind of thing. And yeah, just a simple story. It's not, there's no, you know, explosions, there's no fight sequence. Actually, there's a little bit of a fight sequence. But you know, there's no Avengers and and you know, laser beams. It's just very simple story about people. And I hope that people can relate to the characters. I hope that people can see themselves in at least one of the characters. I hope that people can take something away from it and that they can enjoy the read. It's, again, very dialogue heavy. There's, you know, a lot of the scenes are just back and forth conversations between people. And hopefully, again, that's not like excessive to certain readers, and you know, they're able to just enjoy it and understand that it's true to life. You know, how do we communicate with each other? What are we doing right now? I mean, you know, we're talking back and forth, and that's kind of just the way that we relate to each other as people. So that's kind of my favorite thing to do with my screenplays and my writing.
Okay. All right. So you did say earlier that you're doing music. Is it for Tell of a Man, or is it just for like something else?
I have been making music since I was 13 or 14 years old, so it's, you know, a little over a decade that I've been kind of into music. I rap, and I haven't put out any projects because I've had really bad representation in the past and just really bad experiences with certain, you know, producers and editors. It's just, it's, you know, I'm sure you understand. it's a thing, but I have.
I mean, we all have to start somewhere. It's all good.
Of unreleased songs, but no, I in terms of music, that's something I definitely want to get back into after I release this book. I love music. I am passionate about it just as much as I am about film. I'm not necessarily working anymore right now. I'm always writing and I'm always kind of experimenting with different things, but no, I didn't make any music for Shell of Man. That does bring me to a quick little fun fact that, so in the script, in this novel, which is, you know, a screenplay script, there are music cues throughout the story. So to be more specific, there are scenes that I wrote the music cues into so that if you want to listen to the song while you're reading the scene, you can. And the easiest way to do that is through these bookmarks that I just had gotten printed yesterday, that have QR codes that you scan and it opens up a playlist on YouTube Music and it has every song that's featured in the script. So there is a lot of music actually in the story and in, you know, the different scenes. that's probably another conversation for another time.
Yeah.
But I've always been inspired by music when it comes to my writing. And I was able to sort of see the different scenes that are in the story from listening to different songs. And so there is music feature, but not anything original, nothing of mine.
Okay. All right. So what's the future for you, Mario, and
for me personally, Shell of Man. Place now where I can only go up from here, and I haven't been able to say that for a long time in an honest way, but I can honestly tell you right now that I think that that's the truth at the moment. I moved to Minnesota on January 14th for a job opportunity, and I'm also living here, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And so I see this next year of my life being very fulfilling, personally and professionally. So what's next for me is, obviously, I'm releasing Shell of a Man very soon. Please stay tuned and follow me on Instagram at Shell of a Man Novel. I am going to be, again, starting my music sometime soon. You can follow me my personal page at m.anthonystein on Instagram. But yeah, I mean, just in terms of my personal kind of, you know, growth, I'm going to be just getting myself to a place of really zoning in on my talents, my skills, the things that make me happy. I'm going to be moving back to Chicago in the summertime, and really just kind of getting started on my artistic journey. I have a lot that I want to do. I'm hoping to film Shell of a Man within the next year or two. I'm hoping that Shell of a Man will get in the right hands and somebody will read it and want to work. That's just something I'm putting out there and into the ether, into the universe, just to say that it's something that that I want. And so I'm really just going to spend the next 6 months to a year of my life putting these things out into the world and hoping that they land. However you want to take that as a listener is up to you. But for me, it feels like the time of my life where I really want to be a part of actively trying to better my experience. And so, as an artist, I just have, you know, certain things that are guaranteed and definite, but there are also things that are just out there that that you can only hope for. So for me personally, I see a lot of growth. I see a lot of artistic endeavors beginning. And for Shell of a Man, again, the goal is for it to be made into a film. So Lena Waithe, if you're listening, I would love for you to be a part of it. Barry Jenkins, if you're out there. But there are a lot of just, you know, great people that I can see later, but again, that's up to however this transpires. But yes, I'd love to make Shell of a Man the movie, and that's definitely the next step after the book, down the line. But yeah, music, movie, I kind of try to do a little bit of everything, so a little bit of a Donald Glover thing going, but not quite Donald Glover.
Well, you know what? Never give up on your dreams, man. That's what I tell everybody.
Amen.
Never give up on your dreams. Keep working hard at it, and
absolutely,
you will see it flourish right in front of your eyes. So. All right. So that's all the serious questions. So I'm just going to ask you like a couple, like, you know, fun questions. So who would you hang out with if they were alive? So Martin Luther King, Muhammad Ali, or Malcolm X? Who would you be like cool with,
So Martin is a little too nice for me.
Okay.
I respect and love Martin Luther King, obviously, but I think that he wouldn't like me. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm a nice person, but I think that he would see my dry sense of humor and think that I was And then Muhammad Ali is just too intellectually on another planet and such a genius at what he does that he wouldn't be able to relate to me because everything I do I would say I'm good at if I can be confident and just say that, but I'm not a complete genius at everything. So he would look at me and think, oh, you know, you're a rookie. But Malcolm X, I can see vibing with 100% because he's unapologetic. He is completely pro-black. He's very smart, but he's not highbrow about it. Mm-hmm. He can hold a conversation and be humorous at the same time without, you know, and also, you know, he's realistic. And not to say that the other two weren't, but, you know, I think the biggest contrast with Martin and Malcolm was like the nonviolent thing that Martin had and the kind of revolution type thing that Malcolm had, you know what I mean? So I think Malcolm was a little bit more about that action. And I definitely messed with that.
Yeah. That's true. Okay.
Right now, or
who's your favorite hip hop artist? All right, just say all time and right now.
Friend, again, Julius, when I hear these kinds of questions, because Julius is the most like worldly person I know. He knows every artist, he knows every director, every movie, and he's in, you know, he's into the same things that I'm in, but he just knows so much more. So I always feel inferior because my view is so much less stretched out than his. But I will say that maybe of all time, I'm gonna have to give it to Kanye. Listen, I'm not that proud of it. I mean, listen, when we're talking about Kanye, that I mean, it's not Kanye. That's
I know.
You know, I personally love Jesus.
Yeah,
I love really all his albums. His last one I didn't listen to though, so I guess I can't say all of them, but. No, I just think Kanye's music has revolutionized
hip hop.
And I'm sorry, but you can't say that he hasn't changed what hip hop is. You know, he made wearing a backpack and not being, you know, a gangster rapper. He made it cool. And now the majority of, you know, pop and rappers are wearing
cool,
you know, skinny jeans. Super, you know, like, and wearing purses and painting their nails because Kanye made it cool to not just be one way to be a rapper. And that I definitely appreciate. You know, when I started rapping, which, you know,
rapper.
I'm still working towards in terms of getting myself out there, but I looked to Kanye a lot because I realized that he was an example of someone that, you know, didn't grow up in the hood. Well, I mean, he grew up in the hood, but he didn't grow up on the streets, you know what I mean? So, and I grew up in the hood too, but I didn't grow up on the street, so I related to him in a lot of those ways. And it's much harder. It's much harder to relate to him these days. But I will say that at the same time, you know, and I've walked past his house on multiple occasions in Chicago, his old, you know, the house he grew up in, and just kind of that vibe of seeing his humble beginning.
Nice. Also
very inspiring. So yes, Kanye, maybe of all time, probably. If not, like, you know, Jay-Z. But right now, you know, someone who hasn't released music in a long time, but I love Isaiah Rashad. Do you, you know Isaiah Rashad?
Yeah, I know of him. There's a story that I actually have, actually. So, do you remember his first...
Yes.
Ever like mixtape album?
What was it called? Wait, what?
That was me. That made that.
What is?
I made that mixtape. If you look at the mixtape cover, it says "Most Hated 81." I'm that guy. Most Hated 81, and then it says I think June Multi. But there'll be a lot of people that just moved it. And it was first debuted on that PIF, and then like 2-3 weeks ago.
Wait, okay, I need
it just to exploded.
I don't know what you're saying. You're saying that you
exploded.
Find the cover, or that you made.
Okay, so okay.
Yeah.
So the cover is most hated 81 on top, in the corners, and then next to that corner, I think it says I think G-Unit Multi, or Multi. At the time, I think it was I don't remember what season.
2009.
Is it 2012? I don't remember, but yeah. It's because his songs were like all over the place on
the compilation.
What do you call it? Audio.
Wow, I remember. You know.
Yes. I made a couple. I put this. I
through that if. So you did that because it wasn't an official album.
Yeah. And that's what. Yes.
That's crazy.
Yes. It was an official album.
Yeah, I remember.
Basically, he hated it. He hated the cover.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, he hated everything. Yeah. He hated it.
Yeah.
I made it with a friend. I told him to make the cover.
Okay.
I didn't make the cover, right. But he made the guy who's named Multi. He made the cover, right? And I told him let's make a compilation for this guy because. His songs was all over the place and everything. And plus, here's another thing. Because he was signing a TD, I was like, let's do this. So we did it. And like I said, we put it on DAPIF.
And it hit hard.
It didn't ring out until the official
news cool
came out
story.
That he signed a TD. Yeah.
Well, no,
Sorry. Yeah, it's a cool story.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. No, but yeah, I heavily mess with him. Like his
Go ahead.
He's probably inspired me the most in the past few years, just with his flow alone is just like I want to reach the heights of what he's been
cool.
And the way that he approaches the beats. I don't know. And again, Julius, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry that I didn't name someone cooler, but I think Julius will respect it. Julius is always very kind to me and like, respects my opinions, but I just think that Julius... Again, you have to maybe talk to him or meet him someday. He's just so smart and just knows everything about like culture and music and film and a lot of other things. I feel inferior when I talk about me. But yes, no, Isaiah Rashad...
Dope.
He's been a really long time, but... I still listen to him pretty much every other day, if not. Super dope.
He's dope. I agree, he's dope. He's a dope artist. I feel like he's really.
And
his sounds different. He's creative as well. So.
There's an Isaiah Rashad song in Shallow Man.
What? Say it again.
Yeah, I won't say which one. That's a good little cliffhanger.
Oh, there is?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, nice. Okay, cool. All right. Okay. One word that best describes you.
One word? I hate this question. Can I tell you that I hate this question? I don't want to say
anywhere.
Douchebag. So there's two things that I'm thinking, but one of them's pretentious and one of them's douche.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say dreamer. Yeah, that's the best one that I came up with. The other two.
Okay. No, that's fine. That's fine. All right. Okay.
Sure.
Anybody you want to shout out? Go ahead.
I don't want to say specific names because there's about eight people right now. I just announced yesterday, the day before yesterday, that for Shell of a Man, I So I finished writing everything. It's all ready to go. But I had a last minute, very last minute, inclination to include some original illustrations by different artists at the end of the book. So I have 8 people now that I have met. Some that have reached out to me, some that I've reached out to that are going to be included. I still have 2 spots left if anyone's interested by the time this podcast comes out. Again, just hit me up on at Sheldon Novel. But maybe they'll be filled by then, maybe they won't be.
Mm-hmm.
But shout out to them. I really appreciate everyone that has just been as enthusiastic about this as I am. It's super encouraging to hear people just be enthusiastic about something that you created. I've already seen a couple rough drafts that people are doing, and it's just really, really exciting because I've sent them like scenes from the book, and they're interpreting different things, and it's really just super cool. So shout out to all those artists. Shout out to my sister Joanna, who back in Chicago doing her thing. She's Joanna Lynn, THEE Joanna Lynn. She's my champion, my best friend, my favorite person. Shout out to all my friends and family back in Chicago. I love you guys. I miss you guys. I'll see you soon. Shout out to all my Minnesota friends that I've made in the past few weeks, and hope we come closer with them in the coming months. I'll be here in Minnesota until June, so I still have plenty of time to kind of get my feet wet here. But yeah, those are my shout-outs.
Nice, nice. All right. I sure will appreciate that. So, would you like to give any advice to any writers out there?
Always trust your first instinct. The writer, we are so hard on ourselves, and we have an inclination to want to be perfect, and we always hate an idea after loving it and love an idea after hating it, and are so conflicted all the time. Trust your first instinct. Do not write if you are not in the mood to write. You will not do your best work. Do not write if you don't write about something you don't know about. I wrote about the Navy in this story, and I did not know anything about the Navy, but I learned about it, and then I wrote about it. I did not write about it before I knew what I was trying to do. Sorry, so I didn't have to know that much, but I needed to know what I needed to know, and I learned it before I wrote about it. What you know, and I think that's kind of a basic thing that everybody, says, but it's true, right? What you know, because what you know, you'll have. Read books if you want to write stories. If you read screenplays if you want to write screenplays. Obviously, if you've gone to film school or taken screenplay writing classes, you have already a way in. But just always study, always learn, always grow, and try to. Again, people say, and that's the best way. No, try to write when you feel your best, when you feel the most inspired, when you feel good. If you get an idea, write it down, because you probably will forget it, especially if you're a stoner. If you have anything interesting that you think about, it probably means that it's something you should start. If you start to hate something and can't stop hating it, it probably means that.
Okay, all right, some great advice.
Sure. So yeah, Eric,
go ahead
a little shameless plug,
and share your social media links.
My personal Instagram is m.anthonystein. Stein spelled Stein, like Frankenstein or Einstein. And my book Instagram again is Shell of a Man Novel on Instagram. I have a Twitter, M. Anthony Stein, no period after the M. On either of those, I tweet a bunch of stupid things. I'm a pretty good cook, so I tweet food sometimes. And just don't talk about on behalf. And yeah, again, the Twitter, you can follow all the updates. On my personal page, I like to have something not super active on my Instagram, but I'm much more active on my social man. Again, if any artists out there want to contribute to illustrating for the book, I still have two spots open. It's a really cool story, beautiful black romance story, funny, interesting, a lot of different things going on. If you want to be a part of it, I'd really be honored, especially if you're extra good at art. If you're not, please don't contact me. I don't want to be mean to you. I'm really happy. And that's pretty much it.
You heard it first. Please contact him. Please contact Mario Anthony and contact me at Shell of a Man Novel on Instagram. And Shell of a Man. Go ahead.
And I really appreciate it. You got us a couple new followers and some recognition that we obviously wouldn't have otherwise. Definitely follow this great guy at Dope Manga. Is it dope.manga?
Mm-hmm.
On Instagram. I mean, I'm sure if they're listening to this, they know you by now, but I just want to say shout out to you. I really appreciate
yes, it is.
And I can tell you're just a super chill, cool guy. Again, really like the podcast. I really like the page, and I appreciate what you're doing for black artists and black art. And support black art, guys.
Thank you. I appreciate that, man. And thank you, Mario Anthony. It's a pleasure to have you on this episode. I wish you nothing but success with Shell of a Man. And, you know, just keep going and keep working hard all day. So, thank you.
No, I was going to say, yeah.
No problem. So, this ends. Go ahead. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. All right. This ends the Cool Concept Podcast episode. I'm Mika Miles, aka Dope Manga, and this
cool
is.
Mario Anthony. Sorry.
No. Your name.
Thanks, man.
And we are out.